Are you familiar with the idea of liminality or liminal time? Liminality refers to being in between. Think of the times that we're in between phases of life, such as the summer before college or the months before and after a divorce. Think too of the spaces that are in between. Here in Wisconsin, with our hot and sunny summers and harsh winters, breezeways may come to mind. They're spaces that are protected from the heat and the sun and the wind, but they aren't quite indoor living space. Another liminal space would be an airport. For very few people is the airport the actual destination. Most often it's a connecting point, a connecting place between one place and another. In liminality, we are crossing over from one thing to another. And in doing that, there are predictably three separate phases, three parts to the process. Separation, or what's being left behind, the in-between, and the reorientation. As one might imagine, each part of the liminal process also has some typical dynamics or characteristics. Again, think of that breezeway example. In the winter, it's typical for us to take off our coat, our scarf, the hat, the gloves, and perhaps even more in a breezeway, in that liminal space. So too, liminal times and spaces are marked by non-structure or anti-structure that open us up to new possibilities. All of this comes to mind as we are now in firmly in our fifth month of experiencing pandemic, as we struggle with the prospects of schools and churches figuring out how to serve their populations well, as we continue to engage in the critical anti-racism work that our Christianity calls us to, as so many of the ways and things that things have worked in the past for so many of us just don't seem to work anymore. So much of life right now is marked by non-structure, by anti-structure, or by dismantling past structures. In this context, I offer you this framework of liminality, liminal space and time, in between space, in between time, in order to help make sense of the disorientation with which so many are struggling. To quote Susan Beaumont, who wrote a book last year on liminality, the liminal period can be an incredibly freeing season in which old structures are released, new identities and possibilities are explored, and power is reassigned. It's also a troubling time during which people are often subject to the lure of tricksters. We're often tempted down fast, false pathways that serve no useful purpose. In short, pandemic has put all of us into an extended experience of being in between. There are things, ideas, behaviors, structures that we're going to find need to come to an end, that we need to shed, because they don't serve us well anymore, and in order to make way for what will be. Just as truly as time cannot go backward, so too life is not going to return to the way that it was before March. And so, one of the spiritual tasks of this season is to do as Susan Beaumont suggests: release old structures, explore new possibilities, and reassign power. Today, our focus will be on that third piece, the second piece, releasing the old. But first, let's take a look at how this experience of liminality is informed by our scripture readings. Our Hebrew Bible passage today from Exodus, which Liz read for us, is one of my favorites. I say that a lot, don't I? Most often, I reflect on how it is, how this is a glorious record of a feminist response to injustice. It's the story of two minority women engaging in civil disobedience, which ends up setting the stage for revolution and numerous experiences of God and the sacred. But today, I'd like to lift up the liminality of what they did. Shiprah and Puah were in a terrible situation in Hebrew history. A time in which Pharaoh, the head of state, had commanded them to engage in despicable acts. A time that was marked by famine and deep social disparity. A time in which there was tremendous trouble in the land. A liminal time. An in-between time. This time was exacerbated by the old power elites trying to grasp power that was slipping out of their fingers. In the passage we heard today, these two minority midwives decided to throw off the old power hierarchies. They chose not to follow the law of the land, and in doing so, lived for some time in the disorienting non-structure or anti-structure of having Moses' own mother serve as his nursemaid while he was being raised in the palace. Everything about that story must have been disorienting and scary and fraught. The midwives and Moses' mother were in an in-between time, setting aside former values, power dynamics, and social structures, while not yet knowing what their future would look like. Similarly, in our gospel today, we hear Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Their answer is, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" Rather than focusing on Peter's answer, where I'd like us to spend the rest of our time today is around Jesus' question. Remember Susan Beaumont's caveat earlier that liminal times are often times in which people are subject to the lure of tricksters, and people may be tempted down false pathways that serve no useful purpose? Today, I invite you to ponder how your life experiences intersect with this experience of the disciples, having competing voices leading them to all sorts of false conclusions. In particular, when we're in situations of anxiety and struggle and disorientation, that is, when we're in liminal situations, we are often tempted by voices that aren't leading us down godly paths of depth and spirituality, but rather voices that are leading us into falseness. Very often, they can be characterized as the voice of judgment, the voice of cynicism, and the voice of fear. The voice of judgment is often certain. It finds its power in facts. It tries to keep us in a stance of knowing. And it shuts down an open mind. Often, much of what the voice of judgment says is accurate, but it spins things in such a way that there is little hope of finding a solution. The antidote to the voice of judgment is a stance of wonder. The voice of cynicism is sharp, snarky, and inclined to believe that others are only motivated by their own personal self-interest. This voice in our heads is often skeptical, mistrusting, and shuts down an open heart. It protects us from ideas that would damage our egos. The voice of cynicism is often pejorative and belittling, and the antidote to the voice of cynicism is cultivating a stance of vulnerability. The last voice that we'll talk about today is the voice of fear. The voice of fear seeks to protect us from loss. It's rooted in scarcity mentalities that the status quo is the extent of what will be. It keeps us in a striving stance and shuts down our openness to will. It reminds us of the ways our self-interest may be damaged by the unknown. Conversely, releasing the voice of fear releases our desire for control. And so the antidote to the voice of fear is a yielding to the inevitability of the unknown. Now, here's where that pen and paper that I invited you to seek out earlier would come in handy if you were able to grab them. I'd like you to think of a time or situation in your life that was particularly challenging. Maybe it was it's your time of your experience of this pandemic. Maybe it's a particularly difficult breakup or an experience of addiction or a difficulty in your job or vocation. Really, think of any time that has been particularly challenging for you. In a sentence or two, try to describe that challenge. Write it down. It really doesn't need to work to do this exercise generically. So do think of a time or situation that was challenging and either keep it in mind or write it down in a sentence or two. What we're going to do is take a few minutes to go through a guided meditation. Now that you have that challenge in mind, and hopefully on paper, we're going to let each of those three voices speak to us about that challenge. What we're going to do in the silence is let each of the voices, one at a time, have free rein in our head in which to express itself. As it does, we're not going to judge or restrict it in any way. We're just going to let that voice speak. And everything that it speaks to us is going to come out on our paper. Don't worry about someone else seeing this. Go ahead and plan to burn it later or tear it into shreds. But it's helpful many times to have somewhere just to write it down and get it out. And so we begin with the voice of judgment. With regard to the challenge that you brought to mind, how does the voice of judgment speak to you? Remember, the voice of judgment is the know-it-all, the condescending voice. It's got lots of data and lots of opinions about that data. Let the voice of judgment speak to you about your challenge and write down what that voice is saying. For the sake of our time today, together today. I'll invite you to come back to that. But again, this is the voice of judgment with data and opinions. It's condescending. Let's take a moment now to breathe in and offer thanks for the voice of judgment, for all of the ways that it has been protecting us from getting into trouble and from saying or doing things that might be untoward. And now we offer that voice a chance to step aside. And we'll invite the voice of cynicism to speak. Remember, the voice of cynicism is the mistrusting voice. It's snarky in character and in tone. It has lots of judgy opinions. It's about who is trying to do what to you and how you might need to protect yourself from that. Let's take some time to let the voice of cynicism speak relative to the challenge that you brought to mind. Again, know that you won't possibly get everything out in the time that we're able to do this together. But again, this is the voice of cynicism that's snarky, that is judgy and opinionated, and is trying to figure out what people are trying to do to you. Let's thank that voice too. The voice of cynicism. Let's thank it for protecting our hearts, for protecting us from being too vulnerable in this challenge that we've lifted up. The last voice that we're going to invite to speak is the voice of fear. How does the voice of fear resonate with the challenge you have in mind? The voice of fear is heavily invested in not wanting you to lose any more than you already have. It's very scarcity based. And so let the voice of fear speak to you about your challenge and write down what it is saying to you. And let us give thanks to the voice of fear for protecting us from loss. You can go ahead and set down your pens. Now, imagine yourself somewhere on the edge of a stream, somewhere peaceful and safe. Picture the water flowing gently past you. Let's begin by paying attention to our stance and our breathing. If you would, sit up a little straighter. Open your chest that your heart may be open. And let's pay attention to our breathing. Pay attention as your breath deepens. Allow your body to relax and your eyes to close. And let all of those messages from the three voices just randomly surface for you again. Don't worry about reading them or getting them all. Just one at a time, let them surface for you. Observe them. And then draw them out of your mind like they're on a long silver string and drop them into the stream that you've been envisioning. Let the water carry them away. One thought at a time. Let the water carry them away until you've released those ideas with which the voices of judgment and cynicism and fear keep trying to monopolize your mind. Keep letting them go. One thought, one voice at a time. Let us pray. Gracious and Holy One, help us sit with minds open to wonder, free from the voices of judgment and cynicism and fear, that we might hear your true voice leading our next steps as we seek to navigate this liminal time. In your name we humbly pray. Amen. Exercises like this are called shedding exercises. They free us to stand in unknowing, free us from our biases, and help us to stand in awe of what God is birthing and gestating in our time of disorientation. I hope that you take time after our video and transcript are posted in midweek to take a longer time processing and shedding those distracting voices. Friends, the midwives in our Hebrew scripture, the disciples in Jesus' time, and all of us experience competing voices amidst the disorienting experiences of life. My prayer this week is that amidst these voices, you will engage in practices like this or any others that help you to shed the voices of judgment and cynicism and fear, that you might hear instead the voice of God, the voice that calls you beloved, the voice that says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." The voice that says, "See, I am doing something new." Alleluia and Amen.